Blog Talk Radio.
What's up? We're coming to you live from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is your host, Brad,
and your co-host Mello. What's happening?
Hey, we hope you guys had a great week. We hope it was productive, positive. We hope that some dreams came true. Yeah. If they didn't, don't give up, because dreams really do come true. I'm getting married. I'm excited talking about it, getting very closer to the date. So I'm feeling that. Last week, you know, we had what we call table talk, Mello and I, and we were joined by our, my wife and Mello's future wife. And so we kicked it, and we threw some very real issues on the table, and we had fun. So tonight, you know, we try to always keep it different, keep it interesting.
Yeah.
We try to keep it real. Tonight, we're excited. Mel and I both are, I'm married to a woman, and Mel is also engaged and dating a woman. So the show is So You Think You Know What Women Want. And so when we say woman, we mean essence of a woman, the thing that embodies her. So whether it's, you know, that we have all these titles, and I don't mean to go right into the show because I'm not, but I'm so excited because I have my sister, Lady Dame, my sister girl, my friend, just a fantastic writer, dancer, God, activist. I mean, she does it all. She's also a blogger. But anyway, Mello is going to give you all of those digits and all of those hashtags for my sis. But I just want to say that I'm excited because it's Transgender Awareness Month, and these are things, you know, last month we dealt with domestic violence. We brought Queen of Fion. We talked about same-sex abuse. You know, these are things that are hot and topics that are seldom talked about. I mean, like, we want to talk about them. So anyway, I'm going to let Mello introduce my sister to you, Lady Dame. And then we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. And the next voice you hear will be that. I'm sorry, man.
I'm
excited.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I'm thinking about it on the way over here, that this is going to be a really good show, and that I hope that people are tuned in, and it's that, you know, they'll just happy with what things going to put out, what we're going to put out, and we'll be as happy as we are.
Absolutely.
Without any further ado, as they say in the church, we're going to talk about our guest for the evening, which is Lady Dame. Lady Dame, also dubbed the ancient jazz priestess of Mother Africa. I can't wait to hear her explain to us exactly, you know, how that became and you know, just give us the whole rundown on what that even feels like, what that means.
That's,
you know,
what I'm talking about, yeah.
She's a transgender woman. She is. This is Transgender Awareness Month.
That's
November, and so she's here to, you know, celebrate with us. Basically,
yeah,
this is wonderful.
Milestone.
We can say that we have an awareness month.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Exactly.
All right.
That's just blessed.
Right.
And I'm excited to get her. She's a writer. She's an actor. She's an activist. She's a blogger. You know, she dances. She sings. And I'm sure she does a whole host of other things that
Absolutely.
We don't even know about.
Absolutely.
And I just can't wait to talk to her. So, like I said, we're going to take a quick break. And the next voice that you all will hear will be that of Miss Lady Dame.
Let me tell you why I love it.
Because he is the truth. He is so real, and I love the way that he makes me feel. And if I am a reflection of
be fly. Because it's light, it shines so bright. I would lie. I remember the very first day that I saw him. I found myself immediately intrigued by him. It's almost like I knew this man from another life. Like back then, maybe I was his husband, maybe he was my wife. And yeah, the things I don't like about him are fine with me. Cause it's not hard for me to understand him, cause he's so much like me. And it's truly my pleasure to share his company. And I know that it's God's gift to breathe the air he breathes. Oh, it's the truth that he is so real. And I love the way that he makes me feel. And if I am a reflection of him, then I must.
Welcome back, welcome back, everybody. It's a party, is it a party? That's all I'm asking. Lady Daggy, are you with us?
Hi, can you hear me?
Hey, lady.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
We did you, baby.
So, oh my gosh, like, this is so crazy, because I remember, like, years and years and years ago when you talked about giving birth to this show, and I'm so excited that, like, I can be a part of the vision. So thank you for having me on the show tonight.
Baby, thank you for saying yes. We love you. Oh my God. Oh my God. I'm so excited because one thing I know about you is that, honey, you keep it real. You know, and that's what's important. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We need that shit. We do. And there's so many things, you know. Mel and I, we've been talking about this since last week. I mean, she has, like, a slew of questions. Of course, we want to hear from you first. And, you know, just going through some of your blogs, you know, just you know, really – want to know, you know, where you came from, how you were made, you know, the hands that shaped you, the tools that made you who you are. Baby, you are a force. You know what I'm saying? God damn.
I love it. Thank you so much for having me. I love y'all. Thank y'all for just having this show and just, you know, offering me a platform tonight, so I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. And you can say whatever you want to say.
Yes, I'm going to. You know I can. Let me tell you something about me. It's so funny because I think about the fact that I go into universities and I'm on panels at organizations, and, like, I can't silence myself. Like, I feel like, especially, you know, women, trans women especially, because they're the most marginalized, and people of color are always asked to be silent about our stories, about the oppression that we face, and about the change and the dismantling of the systems that we're trying to do. And I was like, I ain't got time to be silent. Silence is death.
Yes, it is.
And I don't have time to die.
Mm-mm. Absolutely. Yep. Wow.
So,
lady.
So I'm here.
Yeah, baby, tell us.
Do you want to start, or would you like for us to start? You know, we got a whole bunch of questions that we want to ask you, Lady Dame. But if you wanted to go ahead and, you know, just give us a brief history about yourself, get us started, and then we can jump right in after that. You want to do that?
That works for me. I'm originally from Baltimore, Maryland. I'm from a very, very close family. My father is a Nigerian immigrant, and my mother is Cuban and Cherokee.
Wow.
Cuban, by the way, of her father's people, and Cherokee, by the way, of her mother's people. And so I'm first generation on my father's side, so, like, I'm a child of an immigrant. And so sometimes I go off about immigration laws and stuff like that, and people are like, why are you so serious about it? And I'm like, do you understand this is a part of my story, too? Sorry, but I got to talk about it. Sorry, not sorry. So that's like one thing. I went to Baltimore School for the Arts for high school, and then I went to Catholic University for university. Can you imagine that? And I've met some amazing, amazing people over the years. And I'm a singer, dancer, writer, actor. I'm an oracular consultant. I'm a life coach. I do like 1,000 things. Because I feel like I shouldn't have to limit myself to just doing one thing. If all these gifts were given to me, then I need to utilize them to be able to manifest the world that I want to have. So I do a lot of stuff. I wrote a book. I'm the first trans woman of color in D.C. to publish a novel of fiction as of 2013, which was, like, super exciting. So, I mean, like,
beautiful.
That's a brief overview. Like, I volunteer at Casa Ruby. I also am a member of the Trans Women of Color Collective National, which is based in D.C. They also have a New York base. They have an Ohio base, and they're starting one in New Orleans, which is, like, super exciting. Just amazing. Like, and a lot of the people, the people that I've met over the years have been great to me and have been very supportive of my vision for my life and where I want to see this movement go. And I've been able to really be blessed to cultivate sisterhoods that are long-lasting. Like, I'm a person where if I love you, I'm going to love you for the rest of your life. So don't be trying to, I'm not one of those people who, like you today and then don't like you tomorrow, right? Like, if I love you, like, you're going to be my sister forever. So, you know, like, people have been very supportive to me. My sisters, my trans sisters have been very supportive to me. Ruby Corrado, Katrina Goodlett at the Kitty Bella Show. She's your blog talk sister. She has a show on Mondays at 9.
Wow.
Hunter, Joanna Cifrido. It's been amazing to be able to share sisterhood with so many trans women of color who are literally such phenomenal people. Like, I want the universe to know, you know what, the universe knows them. I want people to acknowledge them.
Yes.
The work that they are doing is truly, really, when I think about, you know, the work that I have done with women over the years, like, and you know this about me, Rasp, is that I essentially began my work almost 10 years ago, and I worked primarily with cisgendered women and cultivating, like, you know, like, cultivating, like, them loving themselves and loving their womanhood and discovering their inner goddess. And so, really, like, trans women's issues are women's issues. If your feminism doesn't include trans women, then you are a misogynist and you are buying into the colonist, patriarchal, white, cisgender, heteronormative way of thinking. So I'm all about dismantling those systems, like, from the very beginning. And so trans people, especially in, like, indigenous cultures, have existed since the beginning. And I want to get back to that. I want to get back to cultures of color, people of color starting to acknowledge that we really have shared a collective trauma that caused many of us to perpetuate and to participate in the brutalizing of each other.
Absolutely. And the deafening of it, you know, because that is what has deafened the voices and the ears of those that should be hearing this. You know what I mean? Because I'm so in love with you. Oh, my goodness.
Me too, and I just met you, lady. Girl, come on, let's hang out.
We can, I mean. Oh, my God. I mean, here's the thing. I believe in one of your blogs you talked about knowing who you were at 3. And,
yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
what does that look like? What does that feel like as
that's scary and fascinating, all at the same time.
You know what I mean? Talk to
us
a little bit about that.
I will say is this, is that the feeling of it is incredible. Standing here now at 31 years old and looking over my life and seeing that I knew who I was really proves the point that we come out of the womb divinely made. Right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I had already understood my mission since the time I was born. And my mother said something to me when I spoke to her about really embracing all of my truth. And she said, I'm so happy to hear this. She said, because the world has tried to beat the truth out of you all your life, and you chose not to let them take it away from you. And so it was incredible. Like, it's incredible. It was beautiful. It was incredible. It also caused a lot of tension with some people inside and outside of my home, and it caused issues, and it was their issues to work out, right, because they had their own idea of what a woman is. They had their own ideas of what a trans woman could be, and all of that stuff stemmed from their own trauma. It stemmed from their own buying into kind of this white, patriarchal, misogynistic, colonized version of who we are supposed to be as people of color, as black people, you know. So for me, it was amazing to know who I was. It was amazing to know who I was. If there was any sorrow around that, that sorrow was from being brutalized because of who I was. And it was never about me feeling, it was never about me not knowing who I was. It was about me biding my time. And so, you know, I feel like I talk about the gender mask that some people wear. I do an exercise sometimes with some of my clients in which I talk about the gender mask. And I say, you have to at one point say bye to it if that's your truth, right? So my truth is that, you know, I am on the spectrum of the binary, meaning that I am a trans woman. I express my womanhood through my femininity. And so for me, you know, that gender mask, I had to eventually say, thank you for protecting me, but I can protect myself now.
Absolutely. Wow. Good stuff. Hey, listen, we are so excited again. Thank you for talking about that. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I'm going to ask you a question about any advice that you may have to give just based on what you just spoke about, you know, your knowing this at 3 years old, and, you know, any advice that you would give to any parents or any kids or anyone that's listening right now that is, you know, perhaps going through something similar or, you know, pretty much the same thing that you went through at such a tender age. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about that. Okay, Lady Lane?
All righty.
Okay, we'll be right back, DC.
Let me tell you why I love it.
Cause he is the truth, and he is so real, and I love the way that he makes me feel. And if I am a reflection of him, then I must be fly. I wouldn't lie.
No.
I remember the very first day that I saw him. I found myself immediately intrigued by him. It's almost like I knew this man from another life. Like back then, maybe I was his husband, maybe he was my wife. And here the things I don't like about him are fine with me. Cause it's not hard for me to understand him, cause he's so much like me. And it's truly my pleasure to share his company. And I know that it's God's gift to breathe the air he breathes. Oh, it's the truth, that he is so real. And I love the way that he makes me feel. And if I am a reflection of him, then I must be fly, because it's light, it shines so bright.
welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. You're here tonight. You're here joining us live from the nation's capital with my sister and friend, Lady Dane Aditi. We are so grateful that you said yes. And, you know, Mello left you with a question, you know, so we're ready. We're ready for what you want to say about that. Because we have some more.
Awesome. I think it's, to answer that question, it's in two parts. I think for the parents, I want to say, listen to your child. Your job as a parent is not to create a child that, how can I say this? Your job as a parent is not to create a child that should fit into the mold of our society. Your job as a parent is to love your child and to honor your child's truth and to hear them, because no child should have to go outside of their home and feel endangered and then have to come back to their home and feel endangered. Your children should be able to be open, honest with you, because home has to be a place of love. Go ahead, what were you going to say, Mom?
I am shaking.
Yeah, I was good. You know, it's interesting because Laverne Cox, she was saying that it is proven through numbers, even though I hate statistics because I think sometimes, like, we're not numbers. We're not numbers, we're not statistics, we're actually live people. But Laverne said something that was amazing when she said that it is proven that trans children who have loving homes are less likely to commit suicide. And, you know, to see these stories of these young trans people committing suicide just because they don't feel loved, I'm like, what is the world doing? Like, what are you doing, really? Like, what is our school system doing? Like, what is happening? So to the parents, I say you have to be that foundation of love. You have to be that space of love where your child can come to you and say, my truth is that I'm trans. And you're like, baby, I hear your truth. How can we cultivate a life at home that can honor that? How can we cultivate the fact that if you go outside of this home and someone tries to harm you, we will come and protect you? So many of us, you know, so many of us want to leave our children just to the wolves, right? We want to just be like, oh, well, if you want to live your truth, I'm just going to throw you out the house. I don't know if the white baby Jesus that a lot of black people worship, I don't know if that's how he would feel. I don't know if he would feel good about it. Well, probably so, because he's a colonizer. So I don't know if black Jesus would feel good about that. He's a tool of the colonizer. But I don't know if black Jesus would feel good about that, right? But you so often see that. You see people just throw their kids to the wolves, and I'm like, that's a baby. That's not even a grown person. That's literally a 13-year-old child, and you're making that child go into the world and do sex work. So for me, one thing that I said to someone once is I said, you know, we like to talk about, because I come from the ghetto, and we like to be so down on, you know, oh, this is a teenage mother, this is this and this and this. I was like, how about these parents who have a mother and a father who can support their kid, but they throw their kid out just because their child is trans, or just because their child is gay, or just because their child is a lesbian, or just because their child is bisexual? I said, we need to start holding those parents accountable. Because it's not right. But that's, you know, that's to the parents. And I say, if you are a parent who does cultivate that loving space, thank you so much, and please continue to speak out. Like, I'm always so thrilled when I read blogs where parents are coming out and are saying, my child is trans, and I honor my child's truth, and I love my baby. Because we need more of that. We need more parents standing by their trans children and showing the world that you will not be able to take this child. You will not be able to harm this child without retribution. As far as the children are concerned, I say love yourself. Love yourself. This world will try to take you down because the system that we live in, really globally, is not created to honor you. So love yourself and find you some sisters and some brothers who are going to honor you. You know, be around people who you can share your truth with, and they will love you and elevate you. And they will share what I like to call wisdom conversations. They will have wisdom conversations with you. Be around that. Cultivate relationships of sisterhood and brotherhood and family. Because that really, to be absolutely honest with you, like, that is what sustains me. Sisterhood sustains me. There are days when I literally am like, I'm exhausted, like, I got to raise this money to try to produce this thing, like the Indiegogo campaign and do well. And I, like, don't want to get out of bed because it's a lot. But my sisters are amazing. Like, I have amazing women in my life who are like, girl, you know you need it, so you better get up in here and you better do your work because you are essential. Each of us are essential. Each of us are essential. And that's what our ancestors who were indigenous, that's what they understood. They understood that no matter who you were, no matter whether you were cisgendered, hetero, right, or whether you were LGBTQ, that you were essential to the community thriving. We need to get back to that.
I like to call that understanding the value of my footprint. You know, because my footprint and your footprint, our footprints are so different, yet they're so important to the working of everything. You know, and I'm sorry, baby, I just wanted to say that it's so wonderful what you're saying. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful thing. Oh my God.
Lady
and we are here. We're here, too. That's also what I want to say is that thank the goddess. Thank the black mother goddess for the internet. Thank the goddess for Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, because it really has been a tool that has really helped to bring a cohesiveness across the entire world of trans people. And I really am honored that trans people utilize social media for creating change. So we're going to switch. You said we were going to switch gears, but I just wanted to plug that in about utilizing, you know, utilizing technology for community.
Mm-hmm. And that's it. You know, we have a motto around my house and within the community that I'm an activist in. And it's, we need our village, you know. And that's essentially what you say. Without the village, the person is left to fend for themselves. And left to fend for ourselves, we're subject to die. We're subject to suffer harm. We're subject to be abused, you know. And it's a sad day and time when a parent would cast out their own blood. And now you have not only someone on the street with no one, you have someone who at some time, at a point of that journey, may have to turn to prostitution. They may have to turn to whatever, you know, hustling, selling, whatever it is to sustain that. And in that riskiness alone, you know, sis, and I know that we've seen our people go down. We've lost people behind this because now we have allowed the people that we love or we say we love to become open targets to whoever, to whatever psychotic individual or gay bash or transgender basher or whatever the problem. We open them up to that hurt. And I hear you saying that without your village, you wouldn't make it.
Yep, honey, that village is essential. Like, it is essential to the journey, and And I'm a person who have been said, people say that I'm strong, right? And so imagine someone who, you know, who doesn't have, quote, unquote, that strength. Imagine somebody who's 16, who was never really told that they can say whatever they want to say.
Yes.
Or that their voice matters. And
yes.
So we need to create a world where our babies, where the generation before us don't have to still deal with the same stuff that we deal with. And for me, that's about recognizing the root of issues. And when I'm on panels and when I'm speaking, I often talk about colonization because we don't really learn. I think that our school system is a part of that, is a tool in that erasure, and that violence, and that violent erasure of our stories and our truths. And so I talk about colonization because that really was when, white Europeans kind of went across the world and ruined it for me. That's
mm-hmm.
what I feel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I hear you. I agree. Mello, I'm sorry, man. You keep Mello's in the studio waving at me like, man, I want to say something. I got a question.
Mel, what's up, Mel? What's up?
I was letting you guys talk because I was shifting gears. But
okay.
You all wanted to keep going with that, and it was a valid point, so I didn't want to stop. But I just wanted to shift gears a little bit and start talking about some of the things that, you know, nowadays, you know, times have changed and, you know, wordings have changed or names have changed. You know,
right.
Who we are and what we call ourselves and how we identify, you know, that's broadened a bit. And I wanted to ask you some questions. I wanted to ask you about a lot of the terminology that we hear and, you know, wanting to define it for us so that we could have the correct definition. We could know. You know, we could be in the know.
No, I was just gonna say it's really interesting because the trans community is so varied and it's so different that I can have a definition about something and somebody else might have a different definition, even though it means the same thing. So it really all depends. But go ahead, you were going to ask me a specific question, so go ahead.
Well, no, I was just going to ask you about some words, some terminology. For instance,
mm-hmm.
Define transgender for?
For me, what I say transgender is because I approach transgendered as a spiritual state of being, and so I say that transgendered for me is that my gender truth. My gender truth may be different than what the doctor assigned me at birth.
Okay. So then when people say heterosexual transgender woman or homosexual
uh-huh.
transgender woman, what does that mean?
That means that you are a woman who is trans, who heterosexual transgender woman. I'm a heterosexual transgender woman. So
okay.
I'm a woman who is trans, who likes men.
Okay. You like
and,
men, whether they're straight or gay, it doesn't matter.
You know what's so funny is that gay men do not like trans women because we women.
Uh-huh.
Like gay men ain't thinking about no woman. Gay men
right.
is thinking about, you know what I'm saying? Like they think about
right.
something else.
I get that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I get that.
That makes sense. So then what's the difference between
between being transgendered and transsexual?
Well, in the past, those two things were completely different depending on what they would say is that it's certain surgeries that people have gotten. And I don't really like to talk about surgeries because I feel like that's personal and that's like people's business. And so that's kind of like, but really, for me, all of that is the same thing.
Same thing. Okay.
Because I also approach trans identity as it's very ritualistic for me. It's steeped in a history of indigenous cultures of ritual and spiritual awareness and spiritual sight. So those things are the same for me.
So then you wouldn't be offended if someone called you transsexual?
No. I wouldn't be offended at all. I mean, like, I would love for people to call me my name. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would love for people to call me my name. If they go and call me.
I don't have
issues with labels, but I do live in a space in which I'm definitely like, what is my name? Like, what is your name? What is my name? How can we go further with that? You know what I mean? Like, how can we go further with understanding that Dane encompasses all those identities and that I come with all those identities and I choose and I make the choosing of what I'm going to be called, right? So,
yeah.
I'm saying? So, like, I say that I'm this or I'm that. Within reason, okay? Because we don't want to get too crazy. You know what I mean? Like, you like the saying that you black. That's not true. That's just not true. Sorry. Like, that's not correct.
No, not at all. Okay, I got two more questions for you, honey, based on this subject here. Okay, so is transvestite a negative word these days? And if so, why?
I don't know what people do with their lives. I know that the word transvestite means someone who generally is one gender, but they dress up as the opposite gender. Well, like, whatever that means, right? So some drag queens are trans. But for me, I think that it's only problematic when people use that term as a slur against trans women in particular.
Okay.
You know, because some people will try to use that term to malign us and try to erase our womanhood. And so I'm like, number one, let's go do a workshop around colonization and what that means. And then let's move forward. So I don't think that the word itself is negative, but I'm also, you would have to ask someone who is, who identifies as that, because I can't make that decision. You know what I'm saying for them?
Absolutely, exactly, yes. Okay, got one more word, sweetie, but on this subject. So what is cisgender?
Cisgendered is someone whose gender truth aligns with the doctor said their sex was at birth.
Okay.
So cisgendered, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, as always, our shows are so diverse and so interesting. And the flow is always love. You know, tonight we're here with my sis, Lady Dane Adini, and we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Let me tell you why I love it.
'Cause he is the truth, and he is so real, and I love the way that he makes me feel. And if I am a reflection of him, then I must be fly, because his light shines so bright, I wouldn't lie. I remember the very first day that I saw him. I found myself immediately intrigued by him. It's almost like I knew this man from another life. Like back then, maybe I was his husband, maybe he was my wife. And here the things I don't like about him are fine with me. It's not hard for me to understand him, 'cause he's so much like me.
So much like
him. And it's truly my pleasure to share his company. And I know that it's God's gift to breathe the air he breathes. Oh, it's the truth that he is so real. And I love the way that he makes me feel. And if I am a reflection of him, I must be fly, because it's light, it's not so bright, I would lie.
All right, we're back. What's up? What's up, D.C. and abroad? We're here with my sis, Lady Dane. Sweetie, I wanted to ask you, you know, how can people get in touch with you? Not only that, before that, I want you to, you know, tell us a little bit about your book, you know, tell us about the writer in you that's writing, tell us about, you know, how that came about. We want to know how we can get in touch with you for panels. We want to know your blog talk, your hashtags. We want to know everything, all about you, because you know what? It's like, it's all about you.
Well, thank you so much, Boo.
Yes,
well, my book, Yemaya's Daughters, it came out of me just hearing a lot about the violence, you know, the anti-trans violence that was taking place and is still taking place. 11 TWAP, trans women of color, were murdered this year, and one last week, and two in Baltimore, which is my hometown. And so what I did was that, you know, I grew up in the Great Blacks and Wax Museum. So I grew up loving history. I grew up knowing history. I grew up being told that, like, you better love your blackness and you better listen to history because, you know, these schools ain't going to teach you about your history before we were in chains, right? They just want black people to be like, your history only started when you were slaves. That's not true. That's not true at all. It's not true. So I always loved history, and I then realized that I could apply this knowledge and this love of history to my identity as a trans woman and to helping also the LGBTQ community understand their special place as shamans and royalty and officials and spiritual leaders of their communities before colonization told us that we shouldn't exist. So Yemaya's Daughters came out of connecting these dots between my African ancestry and having a direct line literally to Nigeria because my father's from there, and to communities of color in America and looking at and asking the question, what has happened in both of these places that trans people are being brutalized, like, and that people are not mobilizing for them? Like, what has happened that trans people are being marginalized? And I found the answer to be colonization. And so I realized that if I wrote a book that was academic, like nobody wants to, like everybody's going to be like, girl, I'm not trying to read that. So I wrote a book of fiction. I'm very spiritual, so I sat down into meditation and I said, I spoke to the ancestors and I said, you know, I will write this book. Because they said, you have to finish this book because this book is necessary. And I said, okay, I'll finish it. And the book kind of wrote itself. So it's about a trans priestess from Africa, and her story takes place in the present, and she comes to America. And when her sisters, who are also, they come from a very female goddess-centered culture, when they leave their nation of women, they become Yemaya's daughters because they go across the sea. And another character who's a major character in the novel is Mary, the mother of Jesus. She's called Mariam in the novel. And her story takes place in the past. And so their stories kind of happen at the same time, and you find out at the end how they intersect. Like, how could this person in the past affect this person in the present? So that's what my book is about. You can get it on my website and also reach me through my website at LadyDaneSE.com. It's in paperback and it's also in hardback. And this is a fiction novel, and I felt like it was also important for me to create, to be a trans woman creating novels that were fiction, because so often, you know, trans women of color are told that, one, we shouldn't write. One, we can't write fiction. And so I'm very young, and I'm going to write an autobiography when I'm like 50. So I wanted to share these other stories that were inside of me now. You can reach me through my website, LadyDaneSE.com. And you can also buy the book through there, or you can buy the book through Lulu.com. And the book is also available at Casa Ruby. And if you want to email me, my email is LadyDaneSE@gmail.com. So I'm on Twitter at I'm at the Lady Dane on Twitter, and on Instagram I'm LadyDaneSE. And I also blog for CDN, Communities Digital News. I have my own column there called Lady Dane Speaks. That's kind of, you know, Yemaya's Daughters. And this book is important, and it's important, I think, to for people to support it, because I'm about also creating movements. I tell my black folk this all the time. I say, listen, you have power. I'm like, you have power. And you know what your power is in? Your power starts within you. It starts within knowing your history. It starts within not forgetting. And it starts also with knowing that you have to fight your enemy the ways in which your enemy will feel it. And so for me, that's my money. Where does my money go? I support artists. I support organizations. I support people who are really about that work. Because to me, I said colonization is sanctioned thievery and terrorism.
Wow.
They want to take our lives. Like, they want to take our lives. And so we have to combat them any ways that we know how. And part of that is, if you have a coin, instead of spending it on an artist who you know ain't fighting for nobody's rights, why don't you want to support, like, you know, support an artist who you know is actually trying to create things for our communities? Because we've already found, as black people, that assimilation doesn't work.
Yes.
Sorry. We have Ferguson. We have Ferguson to prove that. We have Ferguson to prove that. We have all of these things in history to prove that assimilation has never been our friend.
Absolutely.
And so we have to start cultivating and putting our energy, our time, and our money into places that are really going to affect change. And stop being okay with not calling out those people who become tokens and try to demonize us.
Absolutely. Oh, my God.
Thank Dan. We want to say thank you once again. Thank you.
Yes,
you know, we've got a couple minutes left here, but we got to wrap it up really quickly. You know, the title of our show is So You Think You Know What Women Want.
And we wanted to put that question out there to you. So what does a transgendered woman want? And, you know, you can think about it, and if you could give it to us in 30 seconds, we'll take it. If not, you can put it on the blog, and we'll give a shout-out.
Okay, and we want to say thank you. We want to say thank you to the one Mike Stan, Tim Renee, for producing this. You know, we love you. And what else? You know, it's like the Oscars sometimes. We like to thank everybody.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, just I love you, baby. Thank you for saying yes. Thank you for
I love you.
Oh, baby, thank you for being the fighter. The having the tenacity that you have. Thank you for being the voice for those that can't speak for themselves yet. And, you know, are there any resources that you could just give us in a few seconds for those that are looking for help, looking for support?
Well, in particular, and I kind of mentioned them earlier, sorry I got a call, Casa Ruby in D.C. and TWOC National, TWOC New York, TWOC Ohio, and TWOC New Orleans. Those are organizations that I work with, and I know that they're doing amazing work, and that we are really, 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 really working to dismantle these systems of oppression. So those are some resources. And then if people want specific questions, I have done research for people before, so email me.
All right, baby. Sweetie, are you saying, I'm sorry, really quickly, are you saying TWOCC?
Mm-hmm. TWOCC. So Trans Women of Color Collective.
Got you. TWOCC.
All right.
Thank you once again, honey.
I love you, baby. Love you, too.
All right.
Have a good night, y'all.
Good night,
you
honey.
You too, baby. Have a
Take
great
care.
Week.
Good night.
You too.
BlogTalkRadio.com. Check us out.
We love you. Thank you, guys, for tuning in. We always like to say, without you, there is no us. We like to keep the ring. Have a great week. Know that whatever you believe, don't change what you believe. If you can't find anybody to support what you believe, support yourself. But like Lady Dane said, it takes a village. Get you some people that love you, some people that celebrate you. Gather people around you that will continue to build you up. You don't have to settle and change. You don't have to if you like who you are. God bless you. Talk to you next Sunday.
Better face. Looking at you, I can tell you've had hard times in your life. Now it's time for me to make everything right. I wanna shower you with lovely things, help you smile again. I wanna get to know you, make it right so you can breathe again.
You're a diamond in the rough, girl, and I'm here to make it better.
Yeah.
You're a diamond in the rough, girl, and we gon' shine in love together.
I see the scars from the broken heart. Life's got you down.
Life's got you down.
And the bags under your eyes have the smiles inside. They're tearing you apart. Girl, you're looking at change. I'm a man who prays, and I'm strong in faith.
Strong in faith.
God must have had a plan. Placed you in my hand. Let me lead the
you're
way.
You're a diamond in the rough,
girl. Diamond in the rough.
In the rough,
we gon' shine in love together.
You're a diamond in the rough.